Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. South African singer, artist, and performer Warren Vernon Driscoll was born in East London. He attended the Drakensberg Boys Choir in KwaZulu-Natal from grades 4 to 9 and Kearnsney College from grades 10 to 12. He studied classical singing at UCT, specializing in Baroque music, and he now performs in the secular world of pop and rock. Warren is also the frontman for the band Mobbing Barley. Warren channels Freddie Mercury and performs in the international hit show The Queen, It's a Kind of Magic tribute. Immerse yourself in the spectacle, grandeur, and energy of the world's greatest rock band. Big sound, big screens, crazy lighting, and outlandish costumes. It's a real rock experience. Queen, It's a Kind of Magic is thrilled to be bringing sparkling new costuming and some previously never performed Queen tracks to the stage on tour, allowing diehard fans to rock the night away. Relive all your favorite tracks and hits from Queen whilst being treated to some of the rarer tracks reimagined with care and performed live on stage. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to Warren Vernon Driscoll about the show Queen, It's a Kind of Magic. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Warren Vernon Driscoll. How are you doing and where do we find you in the world?
I'm doing well for a starter thing. Thanks for asking. And you can find me pretty much all over at the moment with the Queen show. We've been doing a lot of travel with that. But I'm based in Cape Town. That's where home is.
Let's rewind before we get into the Queen show. At what age did you decide, cool, I want to be in the entertainment or performance career and industry? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I actually developed an interest in music quite young. I'd say probably about maybe 3 or 4 years old. My parents started realizing that I liked the sound of my own voice. And then I ended up at the Drakensberg Boys Choir from about grade 5. I think it's from that that scenario that I really started seeing the opportunity of a career in music. So I've never wanted to be anything else other than a musician my whole life. I skipped the whole fireman, truck driver phase. Yes. It was just all, I just want to be a musician. And from about 12 or 13, I started actually studying music and like from classical music theory and specializing in classical singing at that time. As life has gotten older, I guess, rock started playing an influence in my life around 16. So in my life, I wanted to be a classical singer. And then I started tasting rock and roll in my teenage years. Yeah. And then I think from that, I'd started a band in high school. And in that band, the drummer in the Queen show now, Michael Dickens, we started our first band together at the Drakensberg Boys Choir from about grade 6. And that's when I just decided, I think I'm going to carry on playing pop and rock.
For the international listeners who are not aware, what is a Drakensberg Boys Choir?
Okay, so it's a choir school, meaning everybody at the school is in the choir. Mm-hmm. So it's about 110 strong, maybe 120. When I started, there were only 86 in the whole school. So it's a very niche school that specializes in choral and classical music singing. Well, when I was there, I don't know what they're doing right now.
Yeah.
But that's what the ethos of the school was, pretty much musical education alongside normal education from a young age. So that when you got to, it only went from grade 4 to grade 9. So at about 15, you'd have to move on to another school to finish your schooling. Just because if you were older than, I think, 16, you'd have to be considered a youth choir, not a boys choir anymore. That's how the school kind of formed. So it was just a specialized school in choral singing and performance, yes.
Okay, and then what is classical singing? You mentioned before you found rock, you were focusing on classical singing.
So classical singing, I would say, is the likes of Pavarotti, Domingo, and just all old music, really, until about, I'd say, maybe when the Beatles started making a thing. Before drums and stuff were involved, and it was just orchestral instruments. I specialized in Baroque music, which is about 1600s to 1750, which gives you your composers like Bach, Monteverdi, Handel, those guys. So it's broken up into periods, and yeah, but classical music is the classical discipline of music, as opposed to the pop with
Okay.
bands and loose stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so is classical singing always, in my mind, this is a thought, and I'd like you to correct me if I'm not correct. Is classical music
Okay.
always operatic or not necessarily?
It's not necessarily operatic. I think opera is the most popular form of classical singing at
Yeah.
the moment because everybody knows opera singing, you know. There's very much a niche in something called oratorio,
Okay.
which is where I wanted to sing, and that's like the chamber and Baroque music. So remember, Baroque is pre-opera. So Mozart and stuff was the opera time on, I'd say. Yeah, it all happened in periods, but because opera merges theater or acting and singing, that's why it's the most popular, and that's why it's considered. Yeah, that's why most people just assume it's only opera.
Okay. Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. So you mentioned that then you discovered pop and rock and all of that. So then when you move forward from that space, were you in a band? Were you singing solo work, or did you automatically go into theater?
So, funny enough, I don't consider myself a theater performer. I consider myself a musician first and foremost because I don't necessarily act. I use Freddie's mannerisms, but I still speak in my own accent and I just sing the music in the right key, etc. So I don't consider myself actually acting per se. It's just performance, really, which I know it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but that's how it breaks up in my mind. Yes, I did sing in a band. We called ourselves Mobbing Barley at the time, and I think our first name was Postcard when we were in high school. I was still doing the classical and the pop and rock music parallel, but then there was a point in my life where you had to pick one or the other, and then that's how it kind of folded into the pop. I had more fun with my friends on stage than I did being like disciplined on stage, if that makes sense. I preferred it being a free space as opposed to this. This is the etiquette of performance.
Besides the performance in the Queen show, what else have you been doing?
Oh, so before I joined Showtime Australia with this production, I did many things. I was a waiter, a singing waiter, essentially, and I performed at markets with my acoustic guitar and, you know, busked in many scenarios. I did a few band gigs because I thought my band was going to make it. I had the dream, you know, of being in the famous rock band. So we played many gigs in around the Cape Town music scene. Yeah, just any opportunity that came to me with music, I would take up. I actually sang with the Cape Consort, which is a Baroque chamber orchestra. Where we did pieces like the Messiah with Hallelujah, you know, those Messiahs and stuff. Yeah, I did basically anything that was music that was thrown at me, I'd say yes to, and just not knowing where it would go next.
So just allowing the opportunities to come through, and from that, just leading the path to where we are now.
Yeah, sometimes I did a gig and the door was cl well, I closed the door on it. Sometimes I just didn't enjoy where it was going, or maybe the people I was working with, and then yeah.
Yeah, that's important. The people.
Yeah,
Okay, so now,
that's like 70% of the job, the people.
Okay, so now let's unpack the show. Tell us more about it, what people can expect, what you enjoy about channeling Freddie Mercury through your performance. Let's hear your interpretation of the show.
Of course. So, the show is first and foremost a rock and roll show. It's not a musical. Like, there's no storyline, there's no narrative or timeline. It's just this is a straight up rock and roll gig. And we try and recreate the 1986 Wembley moment. That's how the show started, the 1986 Wembley show. After that, it's developed into its own thing, kind of. So we've added some music to the show that Queen never got to, and Freddie never got to sing live necessarily, because you know it came later on in his life. He wasn't stage ready, and that, but he put out some important pieces like "The Show Must Go On," for instance, and that whole Innuendo album. We've just added a few unique songs that weren't performed live ever. So in that way, the shows evolved into something quite special and unique. But that's just about the music side. The stage performance side, I'd say, is we've got all the outlandish costumes. So I dress up full in character. That's why I grow this moustache. And then, yeah, we've got all the grand lights, a big massive LED wall to enhance the show. I wear the same boots that Freddie wore, the same Adidas boxing boots, because we managed to find them. We had to
Oh,
source
wow.
what he was wearing and try and find them. So we that was that's pretty cool. The attention to detail is really good, because Rusty Red, who plays Brian May, plays a Red Special, which is Brian May's homemade guitar. He plays a replica of that. So we've really taken the look as close as possible to the real thing that we can get without being there,
Okay.
which is quite an awesome experience.
And how long? I know the show is got a few dates in South Africa in December, but how long has the show been
Yes.
running for? And how long
So,
will it be moving forward with?
yeah, the beautiful thing about this one is that we don't have a time frame really. We're just trying to build something and see how long it goes. But having said that, I'm not the first Freddy that this show had. The show existed before me, but we are the new cast, and this new cast has been like we all South African, which is a first, and we all the same age group, which is also a first. So we all within a year of each other. I
Okay.
think Michael and I, the drummer, are days apart. We've been doing this together as this group for about 4 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's cool.
Yeah. So, and we've traveled quite a bit with it. It's just that we're finally getting the opportunity to break into South Africa, because COVID really ruined a lot of those opportunities. We had to base ourselves in Australia and New Zealand during that time, because that was the only place that was really still doing shows. Without
Okay.
that, we would have had to tank everything.
So during COVID, were you in Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, I was stuck in there for about 1 year and 8 months. Because the thing is, we never knew what was happening. We never knew when the borders would open and
Yeah.
travel would be easier. But South Africa, being from South Africa, was already a problem. Remember at that time where we found that variant, and the world was like, oh, don't go there.
Yeah.
They don't
Anyway.
let them in.
Yeah.
So we couldn't travel. And if I had come home, I would not be able to go back and carry on working. So we just had to live there, all four of us.
Previously to you getting this part, channeling and performing of Freddie, were you a massive fan of his?
I've always loved Queen from as long as I can remember, to be honest. My uncle sang Bohemian Rhapsody to me when I was like probably around 4 or 5.
Okay.
And I remember distinctly like sitting there and listening to him just sing that beginning part. It stuck in my mind. I didn't know at the time who it was because I was so young. I didn't
Yep.
really care. And then I think it only came back. My dad used to listen to Made in Heaven, the album, which was also a great album by Queen. Also made after Freddie died. Yeah, it was in my house the whole time, subconsciously, and I didn't know necessarily that it was Queen, but I
Yes.
remember appreciating the music. At about 16 or 17, when I said the rock and roll bug bit, that's when I started really appreciating the band Queen. Because what I found, actually, what started steering me towards the pop thing was that I found Queen equally as challenging to sing as a Bach aria. It just
Yeah.
had a different audience and a different vibe on stage.
Yeah.
So that's what started swaying me in many ways.
If someone had to go and experience the show, what would you describe it as? You've already given us some of the details. So just give us four or five words to say, you're going to be experiencing what?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd just say you're going to experience a rock and roll experience, a classic rock and roll experience.
Okay. And you're going to walk out singing, dancing, and just being on a high, a natural high.
Exactly. That's yeah. And after, well, I mean, I can't afford the other stuff anyway, so it's fine.
Podcast is listened to throughout the world. So, as a final message, what would you like to say?
I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I do this as a type 1, which is quite a unique thing. But I like to say to people, whatever you think you can do, just go ahead and do it. You never know what the outlook is going to be or the result is. But if you don't try, you'll never know. Anyone can do whatever they want to. That's it.